Fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting around here no more.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have, actually we have, I guess I'm co-hosting today, right, Marco?
That's right.
We have Mike Briggs, who's right now in Ketchikan, Alaska, and in studio we have Marco, that you've all heard, and we also have our good friend Brian Hatch with AO Coolers on the line. And Mike, remember when we came back from Alaska and at the last minute when we were getting on the ferry to go over to the boat, and you ran down and dropped some salmon off for me?
I do.
Do you remember that cooler that we stuffed it in?
I do.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
And when we got it home, oh, gosh, you know, by the way, don't ever fly Delta Air. Don't ever fly Delta Air. And thank God I had that cooler. Because that one and the other one that we had full, as when I got home, the fish was frozen hard. But it was one of the longest days of my life, thanks to Delta Air. Missed three, you know, they, anyway. If anybody wants to know the story, let me know and I'll tell them. But I'm not happy with them, as you can tell. But Brian, we don't mean to be ignoring you.
No.
But AO Coolers, now you are, I know it's not easy to get in touch with you, but I'm beginning to find out why. You're now in, what is it, most of the West Marine stores?
Yeah, we're in about 75-80% of the West Marine stores.
And then you're also at the Home Depot stores?
Yeah, we're just doing a launch with Home Depot. We're in about 120 of the Home Depot stores.
And wow.
And hopefully we should be able to bring that up a little bit more next year and stuff. It was a trial that Home Depot was doing, and it's been going pretty successful so far. So
wow.
Hopefully it'll be in more. And then we're in Academy Sports also. So the Academy Sports...
Where they
aren't big on the West Coast, but
oh, I see.
In the Midwest and stuff, Academy Sports are
yeah.
kind of like the Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in love with the product, and you sent me some, but I need to get more because, you know, Marco wants one. I promised, Mike brought me some fish at the last minute. I promised to send him one. And, you know, it's a soft-sided cooler. You're going to ask, so what? You know, you see those, you can buy them for $10. But, you know, these things are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and like you said with Delta, if your flight gets delayed and stuff like that, you know, you don't have to worry about your fish thawing out in our coolers. It can stay for hours on end, and they'll
how about days?
Yeah, you got held up for days. I had one of my reps who got held up too for a couple
yeah.
of days.
Yeah. Well, the thing about them is they're so darn convenient, and yeah, they're not cheap as far as a soft sided cooler goes, but to get a cooler that does what that one does, they're very inexpensive.
Yeah. Well, the whole cooler industry has changed over the last couple of years with Yeti coming out with their coolers, and it's been great for us and great for other cooler manufacturers because their price mm-hmm. is so much higher. You know?
Well, a friend of mine owns a ice cream company, and based in Santa Barbara, called McConnell's Ice Cream, and they've been around. I mean, they sell all over the United States to a lot of restaurants, and I was talking to him because I took one of the coolers over there to put some ice cream in. Thank you, Mike Palmer. And I showed him this cooler. I says, man, you got to think about getting some of these. And he mentioned that he's using Yeti, and he's paying $400 a piece for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's for the soft cooler, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, so basically it's a $400 cooler. I think it's 24 quarts. So he could get our top-of-the-line cooler that you could put dry ice in, you know. I don't know if the Yeti you can or not, but you can put dry ice in ours, and it would be our top-of-the-line one would be $90.
Well,
yeah. And we've done tests. The ice stays the same as in ours.
Well, see, the other thing, too, is that, you know, the kind of use they get, they wear out.
Yes.
So he's not real happy about replacing them.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to replace those. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's how we started, though. We started in the, you know, to meat companies and fish companies. The salespeople would use our coolers to go around. So they were built for industrial, for being used, you know, every single day.
Right.
And then the regular person, you know, caught eye of it and wanted to buy some also. And then we switched over. And we still do. We still, Farmer John's and right down here in Los Angeles, they've been using our coolers for probably 15, 20 years now.
Wow. Well, you know, I like them because, you know, on a hard-sided cooler, you know, to try, let's say it weighs, with even with fish in it, it weighs 30 pounds. Well, that's not easy to drag around.
No.
But, you know, you can put one of yours with, you know, your, was it a 48 quart, the big one?
Yeah, the big one's a 48. Most of the time, the people use our 36-pack because you can put, that fits 50 pounds of fish in there.
Well, and then you can just put the strap over your shoulder and carry it.
And carry it out. What a lot of people do is they'll put one cooler inside the other cooler, so now you have two coolers, so now when you come back, you have 100 pounds, and you don't have to pay for the extra
freight.
Yeah, extra weight and everything for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's a good tip. By the way, if anybody is traveling to Alaska or Mexico, what I like to do is, well, from now on it'll be years, but you used to take a you know, hard-sided cooler, and you fill it with, let's say, consumables or things you're not going to bring back, and then fill it with fish to bring it back. And what you're talking about is you could put one inside the other one and still put your stuff that you have to check in on it. And when you come back, when you go to, well, bring your own cooler to Mexico or Alaska, they put it in those wax boxes. Mm-hmm. But and they work pretty well, surprisingly, if the fish is ice cold. I mean, it's frozen hard.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're good for maybe 12 hours.
Yeah.
But frequently, if you're traveling, it may be more than 12 hours, and you don't want to get soft fish that you have to refreeze.
No. Nope. Or leaks all over.
Yeah. Well, there's that, too. Yeah.
So if I'm coming back from Alaska, I don't even need ice. I can just take my frozen fish, put it in my AO, and it'll be nice and cold when I get it back.
Right. Well, by the way, just in case anybody doesn't already know, you can't put ice in a cooler on an airplane.
Okay.
Wet ice, they don't want that because it drips. Dry ice, they don't want that because it evaporates and the carbon dioxide
right.
will fill up the area. So it has to be frozen hard, and then it has to be kept in a bright container. Yeah.
But it'll last a lot colder.
Yeah, and one of the things that we have, we call AO Ice, and we have two different types of it, and we've sold a lot, is you can use it with your frozen fish, and it'll keep the fish from thawing out. So it'll give you an extra 24 hours or 36 hours when you put this ice pack in it.
Well, how about if you're out on a boat and you throw the fish in the cooler instead of in a burlap bag? Or somewhere else, or in the hold or something, you throw your fish in there with, I'm going to get some of that ice from you also. Is there something unique about the ice packs that you use?
Well, the nice thing about ours is that there's two different types of it. You can get one that keeps the ice from melting, you know, so that goes down to basically 32 degrees. And then the other one, well, you could use, like, with ice cream, like with your friend's ice cream.
Right.
It'll keep ice cream frozen. It's almost like, it's pretty much like the same component, not the same components, but it works the same almost as dry ice.
Right.
You know?
Really?
But it has to be down to that, you know, 0 degrees and stuff to keep it keep it frozen.
Right.
You know? So the one that you can use with ice, you can put your drinks in there, you can put all your stuff in there, and you put this ice pack in there, and it keeps the ice from melting. So if you're going away for a long trip and you have ice that you want to keep, you put one of those in there, and it'll give you an extra 24 or 36 hours. You take it out, and then your ice is still fresh.
And that comes in 5 and 10-pound packs?
It comes in 2.5 pounds and then 5 pounds.
Okay. Well, I need some of those, too.
Website.
Also, I want to try one of your backpacks.
Oh, yeah. No, the backpacks are good. That's one of our favorite for when you're traveling. You put your computer and stuff in there and get on the plane. And then when you're on your vacation, you can have a cooler for going down to the beach or whatever you want to do.
Well, we only got a couple of seconds, but Marco actually had the idea when you're out on a boat, especially an open party boat, you cannot take an ice chest, but you can take a backpack.
Yeah, ours don't even look like coolers, so I'm not saying to not follow the rules, but you can sometimes take them out in these boats.
But, yeah, but that way it comes back and it stays cold and firm and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it looks like we're about out of time right now, so let's get some contact information for you, Brian.
Okay. You can go on our website. It's aocoolers.com, and then on there has all our retail stores that you can go to, any of the stores.
Perfect.
Stuff, like I said, West Marine and everything.
Gotcha.
That you can go to and pick up.
AOCoolers.com. Brian, thank you very much, and I'll be looking forward to getting some more. If you are still using a plastic hard shell cooler, things have changed for the better. AO coolers are lighter with twice the efficiency of the traditional bulky coolers. AO coolers are the best available soft-sided cooler with 3/4-inch high-density closed-cell foam insulation. They will keep ice frozen for 24 hours in hot weather. Easy to carry, less space, it fits product inside for better performance. Go to AOCoolers.com to order or find a retailer. Available at West Marine.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Shasta Trinity Recreation Area is breathtakingly beautiful with all amenities, offering the best camping in California. California's largest reservoir, Diamond Valley, is just 90 miles from Los Angeles or San Diego, designed for an incredible fishery. At Silver Falls Lodge in Oregon, no need to rough it. Stunning beauty and first-class accommodations. Whatever your desire, CalParksCO.com has it.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort Outdoor Footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science Footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day just a fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a couple of interesting people. We've got Marco sitting beside me helping out, and right now he's got us live on Facebook. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live going on.
Cool.
So we'll be posting that to the Facebook group.
I thought this was radio. You mean you're going to put my picture out there?
Smile.
Oh, man. I would have worn a shirt if I'd known that. That's anyway.
Technology today.
There you go. But anyway, Michael lives in Ketchikan, Alaska, and he works for, was it the Hotel Restaurant Association? What is it, Michael?
It's the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. So, like, you know, the member businesses of are all the tour operators, restaurants, hotels, everybody who's got some sort of a stake in the visitor industry here in Ketchikan.
Michael has been in Alaska for some years, and Barbara just got back from Alaska, so maybe Michael will ask you about your trip.
I understand you went to Juneau and where else?
Juneau, Skagway, and Haines, and you must know all of my friends now from those visitors bureaus.
I'm sure. Absolutely. It's too bad you didn't get the chance to make it down to Ketchikan while you were here.
Next time. I promise.
Absolutely. So what did you do in each of the stops? I mean, I know that there's a lot of great excursions and things to do while you're in each of those towns.
Well, the original motivation for my going up to Alaska came some years ago when I met a now friend, Sharon Gateman, who worked for the Alaska Marine Highway. And when mm-hmm. she told me about the Alaska Marine Highway, it sort of sparked this notion of going to Alaska. This was about 25 years ago. It took me a while, but I flew to Juneau, and obviously I know that many people cruise the Inland Passage, but cruising is not my thing. I know it's great for some people, but flew to Juneau, spent a few days eating my way through Juneau, took the fast ferry from Juneau to Skagway, and that was a monster ship. Mm-hmm. But just a beautiful adventure going up the Lynn Channel, and spent another few days in Skagway eating and drinking and doing some of the other attractions. And then another small ferry from Skagway to Haines, more food and wine and libations and vodka and stuff.
Yeah, it gets cold up there.
And a river float on the Chilkat River, and then flew back from Haines to Juneau. On the Alaska seaplanes. Yeah, that's
gotcha,
great.
Yeah.
And what was that question, Mike?
I said, did she have a chance to try the smoked salmon vodka?
What?
Yeah, they have a smoked salmon vodka. It's an Alaska distillery that does a few different flavored vodkas, and the smoked salmon one's actually dynamite in a Bloody Mary.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
Actually, I missed that one. The Skagway Brewery has all of these infused vodkas, but I didn't hear about that one.
Well, you'll have to check that one out next time you're up here. But that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that, you know, you can come through the Inside Passage without actually being on a cruise ship and still see a lot of the local communities by taking the ferry. The Marine Highway starts out in Bellingham, Washington, comes all the way up Ketchikan to Petersburg, to Wrangell, Haines, Skagway, Juneau, all of the communities in Southeast Alaska. And of course, there's no roads that connect any of those towns. So taking the ferry is one of the easiest ways for, you know, people to travel around Southeast Alaska and still get kind of that cruise experience. You're out on the water, you know, for a decent amount of time. You get to see the really remote areas of Southeast Alaska and then take as much time as you like in each of the communities without having to be on somebody else's schedule.
Absolutely. And that was really kind of my motivation to do that. So I was able to really relax. And even though in Juneau and Skagway, the cruise ship passengers are coming and going each day, it was always nice in the morning. Things are quiet. And staying in Juneau, I actually stayed down the road in town, but away from the cruise ship docks, and was able to walk all over Juneau and just enjoy the sights and do, again, some of the things that the cruise ship people do, like taking the tram up Mount Roberts and seeing the views. And even in Skagway, I did the river raft through the Bald Eagle Refuge, and it was great.
Well, just a couple of quick comments.
Terrific restaurants in Juneau as well.
I'm just going to say a couple of quick things. First of all, I have no problem with people taking a cruise. It's better to take a cruise and go to Alaska than not go at all. But
exactly.
If you're a little bit more adventurous, what Barbara's talking about, and actually Michael can probably still put you up in Ketchikan because they don't finish up until the end of September. But I think we're really talking about planning for next year. But
right.
Earlier, Barbara and I were talking about the food, and when I was like, Michael, one of the first times when I went to Clover Pass Resort, they had king crab, and it's like, oh man, I got to have that. And you know, so I said, where did this come from? And they go, oh, it came from Costco out of Seattle. But you know, they do have a lot of crab that you can get fresh, and then of course the halibut is legendary, and the salmon. But Barbara was saying that. Apparently, the restaurants and the food up there has changed a lot in the last 5 years. We're starting to get some, accomplished chefs that are coming up with an Alaskan cuisine.
Right, and they actually have a Juneau food tour, which I can't say enough good things about, because that would give people an opportunity in a couple of hours to really check out some of the new and up-and-coming and some of the long-established places like Tracy's King Crab Shack, but places like the Rookery, and there's a taqueria that has fabulous street tacos, Salt, which is another very upscale restaurant in Juneau. They're all really trying to focus on the sustainability of the fishing industry and being a little more sensitive to that issue in what they're doing as far as their food. So,
yeah, I would definitely say Juneau's probably a little.
Yeah.
Juneau's probably a little bit more advanced on the foodie type of side of things over Ketchikan, at least anyway. But yeah, there's some really dynamite restaurants up in Juneau for sure. Salt in particular is one that I've been to that I really like. And then I don't know if the taqueria you're referring to is the one that's got kind of a fusion menu where they do a little bit of a Korean-Mexican mix. Which...
Oh, that's V's Cellar Door. It's a little ways up the road on Seward, I think it is. It's down in it was a Mexican restaurant for many years, and she took it over a couple of years ago. And she's doing this really wonderful mix of traditional Mexican meets Korean craft cocktails. She's doing her own slurries with local, you know, berries and rhubarb. They've really just sort of taken it to the next level, and it really, yeah, literally in the last 5 years.
This isn't fair, John. I'm getting hungry.
I know. Let's go.
But even in Haines, even, for example, a couple of years ago, somebody opened up a new distillery. It's called Port Chilcoot Distillery. They're making vodkas, gin, rye, absinthe, and infusing them with local berries again and making all kinds of craft cocktails. And what I loved is almost every place you go either has some fantastic view or some great history behind it. So,
Michael, let me ask you a question. Normally in this show we're talking about the fishing lodges and resorts that are known to have great food. Now, if someone wants to go a tour or something like this, normally if you go to Alaska, you stay at one place for 4 or 5 nights, and you go fishing every day. But if someone wants to be, you know, a little bit off the beaten path, can you find places to stay and go fishing any place you want?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of places even here in Ketchikan, like one person in particular, I think it's Alaska Travelers Accommodations, where they specialize in connecting people to bed and breakfast and to vacation rentals. And there's dozens and dozens of vacation rentals available all over southeast Alaska, but in Ketchikan in particular, where you can go, have basically your own apartment to live in for a week while you're here. And then, of course, you can go rent a boat from somebody or hire a charter skipper or take a couple of days just to do some of the other excursions and maybe fly out to Misty Fjords and really get to sink your teeth into the Alaskan lifestyle for a few days.
Yeah, I mean, the fishing obviously is the biggest draw for most of our listeners. But while you're there, you might as well enjoy yourself and experience more than you would find basically on a cruise ship or on a guided tour.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like I said before, when you go on a cruise ship, and of course, we love our cruise ship passengers here in Ketchikan. We get about 1 million of them through town each summer. But, you're on somebody else's schedule at that point. You're going to be in each port for as long as they tell you you're going to be there. You only have X amount of time to go out and do an excursion or two. You really don't get a chance to soak in the local flavor as much as you do, like, kind of the facade version.
Yeah, I even saw some rentals on Airbnb.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me was just being able to, I mean, I understand the whole concept behind the cruise ship and people who aren't comfortable maybe scheduling their own travel, but just the waking up in these little towns. I mean, Skagway at 6 o'clock in the morning is just so wonderful to wander across the street and get a cup of coffee and hang out with the locals.
And the sun's already been up for 2 hours.
I met so many incredible people that I probably wouldn't have met otherwise, and people who had so many great stories to tell about how they wound up in Alaska.
Okay. Well, it looks like this segment went by pretty quick, and thanks for your help on that, Michael. But Barbara, do you have a website that people want to get in touch with you?
Yes, it's areyouthatwoman.com. So A-R-E-Y-O-U, thatwoman.com. And some of my stories about Alaska are there. And, Michael, I look forward to meeting you in Ketchikan in my next visit to Alaska, and there will be a next visit.
Okay. Well, you let me know, and I'll show you another turnaround and, yeah, and show you what Alaska's really like here.
Yeah, all the sleazy bars, is that it?
The wickedest city in Alaska.
There you go. Okay. Barbara, appreciate you having come on, and you gave us a little bit of perspective than what we normally talk about in Alaska, so we appreciate that.
All right, my pleasure.
Okay, and thank you, Michael. Okay, we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back and cover some freshwater stuff with Mark Lassane at Bass Angler Magazine.
Hey, Mike, I think we need some more cowbell.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Lake Comanche has 54 miles of shoreline and three marinas west of San Francisco, known locally as Monster Lake because of the big fish in abundance. Lake Hemet is surrounded by the majestic beauty of tall pines and giant oaks in the mountains of Southern California, a majestic vacation spot. CalParks Company is your prime location for outdoor adventures in the West.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort outdoor footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
You can lie and I'll get a pole, baby. You can lie and I'll get a pole, baby. You can lie and I'll get a pole. We'll go down and crawl that hole, honey, baby mine.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and hosting today is we have Michael Briggs, who's currently in Ketchikan, Alaska, and then we also have Marco, your angling real estate person. His website or his email address is have2fish, so that kind of gives an idea about Marco.
Have2fish@gmail.com.
Okay, and then we also, Mark Lassane, who's editor, publisher, copywriter, field reporter, staff writer for Bass Angler Magazine.
And I don't quite do it all, but you're pretty close there.
Well, let's put it this way. Not only can you talk the talk, how has your professional bass angling season been going so far?
you know, my season's been going really good. I'm probably batting 60 to 75% on, you know, events getting a check. So there's only been actually a couple of events I faced that I didn't get a check. So it's been a pretty good year so far.
Well, it sounds like if somebody wants to know something about bass angling, we're talking to the right guy.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, you
know,
so.
I fish a couple hundred days a year, and I put out a magazine. So if I don't know, then, you know, I'm in the wrong business.
Well, I'm sure we've got a lot of bass anglers out there, but this is kind of an off-the-wall question. Why fish for bass?
You know, because they're a hardy fish. You can catch them and release them, and, you know, they have a really good survival rate. So, you know, I mean, plus they are a predatory, omnivorous feeding creature, you know, that will almost bite anything that fits in his mouth. So, I mean, there are days out there when you can catch literally 50 to 100 fish, and, you know, they'll come up and hit topwater or hit your lure, and the strikes are violent, and, you know, it's just so much fun. I mean, you know, other species kind of do the same thing, you know, like you have silver salmon that bite really hard in the lakes and things like that. But, you know, bass are like that almost all of the time, which just makes them just a fun fish to catch. We're always using, almost always using artificials. So it's a puzzle, too, where you're using artificial baits, trying to fool these fish into thinking what you're throwing is something that they want to eat. So not only, you know, it's fun and it's educational and it's a challenge all at the same time.
Well, I have two comments. First of all, fish don't live in ugly places. So, you know, just get out there. And the other one is, we were talking about Alaska earlier, and I don't think they have any bass fishing in Alaska, but I think every other state in the Union does, doesn't it?
I think, you know, Alaska is the only state that does not have bass, and it's just, you know, they can't survive when it gets that cold there. That's the only problem.
Mm-hmm. So no matter where you are, you can't be more than an hour away from bass fishing.
I think almost no matter where you are in the country, there's bass within an hour or two from
yeah.
you.
And it, what's where are we in the season now as far as bass fishing?
Well, right now you're kind of nearing the end of the summer. Still pretty hot in most places, and then we're going to edge into the fall. So the bass are feeding on bait fish, on shad, on small fry. A lot of the fish are pretty small too, so this is the time of year when you can downsize your baits and still catch some big fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the people like to throw spinning rods and small worms and small little swim baits and spinner baits and little crank baits. You know, you have a chance of getting a lot of fish right now, plus you have a chance of getting some big ones. So right now is just a great time to go. I've been guiding people out in the Delta, and we've probably averaging 30 to 40 fish a day.
Really?
Every time we go out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you fish with you, but I know if I went, I wouldn't be having that. But is there any particular types of water you should be looking for that you're going to do well with bass?
You know, right now the reservoirs that have a little bit deeper water, you know, because it's still summertime, so a lot of the fish are residing a little bit deeper. You know, in the early morning and the late evening, they'll come up shallow and feed. But generally throughout the day, they're going to be down in the 15 to 20-foot range.
Mm-hmm.
So the reservoirs that have a little bit of deep water have been good. If your reservoir doesn't have a lot of deep water, you want to look for shade or some sort of cover where you think, you know, kind of one of those places you think something might be hiding to ambush something else.
Okay.
You know, I kind of look at it like a mugger in an alley. You know, he's going to hide in that little dark alley
yeah.
where he could come out
yeah.
and get you.
And just ambush.
So bass are like the same way.
Well, and that's another thing. When you're casting for them, are you trying to throw it at the fish or in front of the fish, or does it really make any difference?
Well, it depends. If you see fish that are busting up on the top, and those are fish that are chasing bait fish, and they're, you know, it's just like a wild frenzy. At that point in time, you want to throw right on top of them. But the fish that are hiding in the cover and the little dark shadows and things like that, you want to throw it past where that fish is and then bring your bait right next to where that fish should be.
Okay. So, and it doesn't make any difference if it's in front or behind?
So it's better to throw it behind. So say...
Really?
The bass is on you see a stump in, you know, 4 foot of water, and you still have 10 foot to the bank. Well, you want to throw it up close to the bank and then bring it by the stump. close as you possibly can, and even bump the stuff. A lot of times, you know, when you deflect off of something, your bait is going to move in an unnatural method where that fish will come out. They don't have hands, you know, so they can't touch it. So they're going to come out and they're going to bite it just out of an instinct reaction.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it strikes, is it because they're looking for food, or they're protecting their territory, or are they just aggressive? What motivates a bass to bite?
You know, you could imagine them kind of like a cat. You know, sometimes cats will chase down a bird just for fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll chase them down and they'll eat the whole dang thing.
Yeah.
You know, and also they'll chase like a ball of yarn across the thing. You know, and you could use your bass lures for cats too. You know, maybe just cut the hook off.
Yeah, good idea.
You can kind of think of it like a cat. You know, I mean, those fish sometimes they'll swim out slowly and just engulf it. Other times they'll charge it and slam your bait really hard. Sometimes when you're throwing swim baits, they'll actually take their head and they'll pound that bait into the bottom. Without their mouth being open.
Hmm.
So the bite can be, you know, numerous different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually that makes it fun, you know, trying to figure out what is it going to take. Well, if they're slamming my feet into the bottom, what am I going to do differently to try to get those fish to eat it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you're fishing, you know, fly fishing for trout, you know, even if you think there's a hit, you got to set the hook. And if you're fishing a lot of times in the ocean, you want to give them time to eat the bait and swallow it before you try and set the hook. You just pull it out. And bass, if you get an inkling of a bite, you have to instantly set the hook?
You know, it's dependent upon the bait that you're fishing. So generally, you know, you could go, there's one, and then set the hook. So a lot of times that's what I'll do is I won't, like, especially top water. If you see a blow up and you set the hook, well, the fish is still blowing up on the bait and there's a bunch of water and stuff in the fish's mouth where he probably doesn't have the hooks in his mouth. Or if you go, there's one, and you wait like a second and then set the hook, then the fish has time to roll up, engulf the bait, turn around, and then you have a lot better chance of getting that fish.
One of the neat things about bass fishing is you don't need an expensive boat to go and target these fish. You can just walk the bank and fish the reeds and the docks too, right?
Exactly. You know, bass are generally a shallow water fish. You know, like I said, in the reservoirs, a lot of times they're 20 feet deep, but you can still hit that from, you know, from the bank. You can pull up on a point, you know, I call points intersections, you know, because it's like a traffic light where there's a lot more going on, so those are good places. But you can pull up to a point and you can go fish it, you know, fish it for bass, and, you know, a lot of times the bass will be moving, so you can kind of stay in one spot and work it for, you know, an hour or two, you know, and be able to catch a lot of fish. And yeah, you're right, you don't need an expensive boat. You can do it from a kayak, a canoe, a tube, from the bank, you know, from a flashy boat, you know, from a ski boat. You know, you can take your ski boat out and drift it along the bank and, you know, and catch bass.
Mark, what would you say the most innovative lure you've seen or piece of tackle you've seen come out this season?
I was afraid you were going to ask that.
I don't want to get, well, I don't know.
You know,
maybe you don't want to give up your secrets.
I'm going to say there's two pretty cool baits that have come out. Okay, and then so we just went to ICAST here in July, and the Savage Gear Duck won for best hard lure, and it's a pretty neat bait. I have a couple of them. That's a pretty cool bait. And then also River to Sea came out with a new buzz bait. Okay, and it's a buzz bait that has two little like torpedo spinners on it.
Okay,
and they float. So it's a buzz bait that floats, which is really nice, because a lot of times when you're throwing a buzzbait, they're all lead with an aluminum blade, and you'll be running across the top. The fish will blow up on it and miss, and you have to keep reeling it, because if you stop reeling, the thing sinks, and then you're not going to get bit. But with this, you can stop it, and you can kind of jerk it a little bit and catch them.
Oh, that's
so
great.
The duck's the same way. The duck floats, and it has its little feet spin around, and it bubbles up on the top. So
yeah, I saw those online. Those look really fun.
So, yeah, those are a couple of neat baits that just came out here this year.
And as much as you can fish them from the dock, I would say that having a really good chart plotter and having good electronics on a boat is also going to be really useful. I know our friends over at Navionics make a great phone app, and I think they have over 18,000 different bodies of water, freshwater lakes and rivers, where from your phone for about $10, you can have a chart for that body of water.
It does. It makes it really nice. I also have the Navionics app, and I use it quite a bit. When I'm out with somebody else, or I'm on the bank, or wherever, I'll use that all the time. In my boat, I have a set of Garmin's that they've done a really good job with mapping. I have 1 foot contours on 7,000 lakes.
Well, we're going to wrap up this segment here, and thank you very much. Tell us your website again.
My website is bassanglermag.com.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Bass Angler Mag. You'll find us without a problem.
Great. Thanks.